Fans of role-playing and war games will gather for the annual Gen Con convention tonight in Indianapolis. This year, they are marking the 30th anniversary of the most popular game in the genre's history, Dungeons & Dragons. As NPR's Rick Carr reports, D&D is still popular, and it has proved a key influence on the culture of video games.
Anyone who thinks that Dungeons & Dragons has been consigned to a scrap heap of 1980s relics alongside a Pac-Man game would be surprised by what happens every Thursday night in Peter Gervin's apartment in the Bronx.
I will fire an arrow at that one. 21.
21, that is a hit. A direct hit.
For the past 2 years, Gervin and four friends, all professionals in their mid to late 30s, have been getting together every Thursday to play D&D.
We're sitting around a table with little inch-long plastic figures and rolling dice and saying things in funny voices.
That describes D&D or any other so-called fantasy role-playing game in a nutshell. Those funny voices Gervin mentions are the fantasy role-playing part. Players adopt the personalities of their characters. In Gervin's case, an acerbic warrior cleric from the eastern realms of this particular fantasy world.
These are the dark hills. They are not the bright hills, the happy hills. Clearly, something is amiss here.
The game part of D&D is represented by those inch-high plastic figures and dice that Gervin mentioned. The figures mark the locations of the characters as they make their way on a quest through a fantasy world that's created and described by another player of sorts known as the Dungeon Master. Usually the fantasy is Tolkien-esque, but it doesn't have to be. When Gervin and the other players encounter enemies, say a group of troglodytes bent on killing them, stealing their things, then eating them, rolls of the dice determine whether or not a particular blow from a weapon hits or misses, and if it hits, how much damage it does. Meanwhile, Dungeon Master Damon Amella describes what happens.
Swing at this beast's head! 14.
You hit him.
Now you'll pay for that spear in my side! Die!
2. 7. 15.
Oh.
6. 21 points.
You take your greatsword. After taking the shot from the stinking creature, you spin around with your greatsword and come up, and you cleave right through his groin, taking out part of his abdomen. Ooh, the thing falls to pieces, and his entrails fall out.
I am victorious!
Bit of horror.
All five of the guys who get together weekly at Gervin's house were part of the first big wave of D&D players in the 70s and 80s. All but one abandoned the game for years before taking it up again. D&D's co-creator Dave Arneson says he and partner Gary Gygax had pretty low expectations when they published the rules in 1974.
War games and smaller general games at the time were pretty small audience. I mean, you had a successful game if you sold 1,000 copies of it.
3 decades on, players have purchased tens of millions of rule books, oddly shaped dice, and figurines. Arneson no longer has a stake in the game. He teaches game design at Florida's Full Sail University. He attributes D&D's success to a couple of innovations. First, that idea of role-playing, which he says is key to the fun. Second, that the point of the game isn't to beat someone else, but merely to play. In the beginning, Arneson says he and Gary Gygax had a hard time convincing people that that was a selling point.
When we, and I mean Gary mostly, was going off and trying to market it with different companies, they couldn't understand a game where you couldn't win it because, you know, you're supposed to play the game and win the game and then it's over and play another game. Well, this one, it keeps going on and on and on.
Arneson says one game he's involved with has been going on for nearly 40 years. D&D's open-endedness proved hugely influential on computer games. In the book Dungeons and Dreamers, authors John Borland and Brad King argue that D&D was a key force in shaping the video game industry. Borland says the rules of D&D, for instance, that character X with weapon Y has such and such percent chance of successfully landing a blow on an enemy, resembled the basics of a computer program. Dungeons and Dragons, he says, was many people's first exposure to the idea of virtual reality.
This was a codified world with rules that programmers could understand and liked and had sympathy with at the same time they were learning to program. So there's a lot of resonances between the type of virtual world creation in Dungeons & Dragons and programming and video games.
D&D profoundly influenced computer games, Borland says, because it became popular at the same time that primitive PCs were showing up in middle-class homes. And it appealed to the same kind of kids who were fascinated by the new computers.
The kind of people who are attracted to programming and computers tend to be a little on the misfit side. They aren't the sports players. They aren't the popular kids often in school. And it's a very compelling fantasy to go into a world and be powerful.
And some of those kids went on to become leading computer game developers, Borland says. Their digital games nearly killed D&D, but a simplification of the rules and a new marketing push attracted a new generation of players. Meanwhile, former players like the members of the Thursday Night Group in the Bronx returned to the game. Dungeon Master Damon Amella says it was like reconnecting with an old friend, and it's proved to be a great way of building new friendships.
We could bowl once a week. We could go out drinking for Monday Night Football and eat buffalo wings. You know, we could, there's probably a bunch of things we could do. And it's the same kind of camaraderie. It's the same kind of, you know, brotherhood kind of thing, bonding.
Nonetheless, the players admit that D&D still has a stigma attached to it.
To women, yes.
To women. To prospective girlfriends, yes. But
when you first start dating, it's certainly not the thing you talk about on the first date.
Peter Gervin's wife, Kim West, who doesn't play, says D&D's been great for him. It's helped him make friends, given him a creative outlet, and taught them both a lot about human nature. Nonetheless, Gervin says he occasionally wonders why he spends time on it.
There are definitely moments when I sit around and look, and I'm like, I'm 38 years old, what am I doing with my life? You know, what point have I reached that I'm doing this? But it only lasts a short time. And I'm okay again.
Recovered quickly.
And that, Gervin says, is because Dungeons & Dragons is still a whole lot of fun. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.
And you can hear more of the arcane language and odd voices used in a D&D game at npr.org.